prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Sounded like the music was speeded up there, Al. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, September 12th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, how are you doing today? Missed you yesterday.
I was there in spirit.
Oh, okay. All righty then.
Yeah. At least in a recorded spirit.
All righty. Hey, today, another interesting day in the markets, but a very good day. It really didn't surprise me, but today was sort of the breaking point of people taking advantage of these lower prices in gold and silver. You have gold down $10 today at $1,230. You have silver down $5 at $1,873. Platinum was down $3 at $1,374. But palladium did manage up $4 at $838. USDX today down just slightly, $84.25. And crude oil, that's also down just a little bit. Well, not just a little bit, about 67.67 at 92.16. And the paper markets today, they were down. I thought I saw triple digits at one point. Now they're down 61, closing at 16,987. The NASDAQ down 24 at 45.67. The S&P down 11 at 19.85. The 10-year yield, woo-wee, up 0.08 at 2.61%. It was just 2 weeks ago. It was, what, 2.3736, somewhere around those lines. And certainly things can happen very quickly and change very quickly. And I think we're going to see a lot of changes that happen at the speed of light in the very near future.
I don't
future.
Think it'll happen at the speed of light. But
you
I
don't think so?
Never, no.
No, it depends.
Yeah.
It's all relative. Yes, Al?
Yeah, I had to sneeze there for a second. Okay. I'm kind of like Gerald Ford. I can't walk and sneeze at the same time. And I certainly can't talk and sneeze at the same time. So,
got to learn to multitask.
Yes, I understand that. We're talking about gold is interesting situation, and it's certainly upsetting and discouraging to see another day gold down. The fact is, gold is down about $80 in 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
It works out to about 6%. That's not a big number. It's not fun. It's not amusing and the rest of that. But on the other hand, it's not a big number. 6% over the course of 2 months. It's not. I would rather it was 6% to the positive than 6% to the negative, but it's not like a fall of 20% or whatever. We'll watch and see what's going to happen, but I've said it before. I don't care if gold falls to $1,000 an ounce. Now, I remain committed to the concept, and all that means is more for me. I'm not discouraged by this. It irritates me, and if it was a free market process that was causing gold to fall, as it has over the last couple of months, it was just free market, I'd sit back and say, fine, I can get along. I understand that. I don't believe it is, though. I believe it's manipulated. I believe that people are making this happen for their own best interests. And rather than seeing a free market price of gold, we are seeing a manipulated price of gold. And it irritates me that people in positions of power can get away with this. But what can you do? You know, it's one of those things you sit back and you just say, okay, fine. Got to go with the flow. And all it means, again, I don't think they can sustain the manipulation forever. In fact, I've got an article that I just submitted for this this next American Survival magazine that includes references to a man named Harvey Organ, who has been a student of gold for at least 20 years. And what he follows is not, he's not concerned about the price and the activities and the volumes of whatever happens in the paper gold market. He's aware of that and understands it. But what he studies is the physical market, the physical supply, physical consumption. And what he has concluded after years of research, I went to visit his website, and it reads more like an accounting ledger than it does an article on written in text, prose, that explains what's happening. He follows the numbers, and what he's concluded is the supply of gold held by the Federal Reserve and other central banks and the United States Treasury is virtually exhausted, and he believes will be exhausted by November of this year. Now, I have no doubt that this guy, there's a high probability that his conclusions, that his predictions are roughly correct. He's been studying these numbers for 20 years. He now has a pretty good idea how much gold was in the Treasury, how much gold was held by the Fed, how much has been released. And he points out the typical consumption for gold in the world is about 4,000 tons per year. About 2,200 tons are produced outside of China and Russia, which don't release any of their gold. And that leaves an 1,800-ton annual deficit in gold. They are consuming 4,000 tons. They're only producing 2,200 tons into the global market, with the exception of China and Russia, which don't release any of their gold. And therefore, he concludes there's an 1,800-ton annual deficit in gold. And when you take how many tons of gold they thought they had at the Federal Reserve and how many tons of gold they thought they had at the United States Treasury, and you subtract 1,800 tons every year for a couple of years, he concludes that they are just about out of gold. And he believes they will be out November this year. And he sees this as a critical event, in that once, he believes that they've been supplying the 1,800 tons of gold, the deficit, they've been making that up by secretly leasing and effectively selling the gold out of the United States Treasury and the Federal Reserve and other central banks. It's been sold into the market in order to sustain the paper markets. Right? You wouldn't think that physical gold is necessary to sustain paper gold markets, but in fact it is, because all of the paper gold markets, like COMEX and the London Bullion Metals Association and whatever, all of those markets are trading 100 ounces of paper gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold that moves. And they are predominantly paper markets, and it's by means of this paper market that they're able to control the price of gold. They can do incredible things with paper that you can't do with the reality of gold. The paper is a kind of illusion. It creates a fantasy world. They can hold the price of gold down with the paper markets. They can hold the physical price of gold down, and that's what they've been doing. But the paper markets depend on maintaining the promise that anyone who buys those paper certificates for gold that are issued by the markets, they can take gold if they want. They can say, oh, no, I don't want a check. I don't want paper dollars. I want to take delivery, physical delivery of physical gold at the end of the investment contract. Now, very few people do that, but those who do have been exhausting. They're the ones that are substantially responsible for the 1,800-ton deficit of gold, and the Federal Reserve has been supplying it secretly, and the U.S. Treasury has been supplying it secretly to the COMEX markets and other central banks, to London markets. And the result is when people, if people walk up and they say, well, I don't want paper, I want gold. Okay, they've still got gold. The markets still have gold, and they can make good on their promise, even though it's only a fraction of their total business. But when the Treasury, the United States Treasury, and or the Federal Reserve runs out of gold, there will no longer be a supply of gold. This is Harvey Organ's contention. There will no longer be a supply of gold sufficient to satisfy even the minimal demand that takes place at COMEX and the London Bullion Market, the LBMA. When that happens, they're going to have to default. People are going to walk in the door and say, I don't want a check, I want gold. And they're going to say, sorry, Charlie, we don't have any. When they have to admit they don't have any gold, the paper market, they don't have any physical gold, the paper market disintegrates. At that point in time, the price of gold, physical gold, can be expected to rise dramatically. Harvey Organ, he believes these things are going to jump for he thinks that gold could be $4,000 by the end of this year. He thinks it could be $10,000 in January of next year. He thinks this is going to happen suddenly and rapidly, and when they finally run out of gold at the physical markets or at the paper markets, when they can't get any more gold to back up their paper, the whole thing disappears. He thinks things will happen suddenly. I'm not convinced that's true. I think whatever will happen will probably be drawn out over a period of, who knows, several months. And I don't see as much drama in the numbers as Harvey Organ does. But I still think he is correct. I think that the Treasury and the Federal Reserve has been secretly supplying gold to COMEX. And if that gold supply is gone, and they can't supply gold to COMEX anymore, COMEX will not be able to maintain the paper gold markets. And once those paper gold markets disappear, price of physical gold increases, perhaps dramatically, perhaps steadily. We'll watch and see. I'm more inclined to, and I'm even hopeful. I don't like it when gold goes up too fast. I didn't feel comfortable when, you know, gold was going through its spectacular rise in 2011. It was going up too fast. I am real happy with gold. It just goes up a few dollars, goes up a few dollars, goes up a few dollars. It goes up like a skyrocket. It makes me nervous.
Well, I think he does a great job in confirming, and it's another source that confirms that, these central banks don't have the gold needed. And we've talked about these central banks leasing gold they haven't owned for years. I've heard the threats and the possible impacts on the physical metal, on gold and silver, particularly the last time it was the silver market, how they wouldn't be able to fulfill contracts and because of the shortage of silver. And following this for just as long as he has, although I never spent the time, you know, digging out the numbers and so forth, so I give the gentleman credit, because it is interesting, it's fascinating information. And I do believe the shortage of gold will be the biggest scandal that has ever graced this planet, and it will have major impacts. However, I think coming to by the end of the year, I think lots of people focus on the supplies and the consumption, and it takes away from all the, you know, I hate to say this word again, but the fundamental reasons. And then when we don't have these shortages, when we don't have the prices increase when they're supposed to happen, people get a negative taste in their mouth, and they walk away from gold, which is the worst thing that they can do. So you have to have a really good understanding why you buy gold and silver, and then dive into, well, you know, the physical, the supplies and the consumptions, and see how it works internally in the paper markets and the differences between the two. And I think this a lot of this is what has happened. You know, people lose interest. You know, certainly when you have gold go from 1900 to where we are, that'll smack the interest out of most people, yeah. You know, except the diehard people who understand that, you know, we have a monetary problem. But darn that phone, lose my, you know, where I was headed. But so it's. This is great news. It's interesting news.
I've been saying he's on the right track.
I've been saying for a year that come the end of 2014 and 2015, we're going to see significant rises in gold. I think what's going to happen, I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I think we're going to have big jumps in gold. I don't think we're going to see 4,000 by the end of the year. But I think, because of these prices, and yes, we're going to see it move up maybe to 1300, maybe back down, maybe 1320. I don't consider those big moves. Those aren't, you know, those are just daily trades. I think when we see the big moves, I do believe you're going to have $300, $400, $500 moves in gold in a day. And it will happen very quickly when we begin to see those moves. So it'll be a combination of both. I think it'll be a combination of both. You're going to see big moves over a period of time.
Yeah, I think so too. That's my point. I agree with his conclusions. I don't necessarily agree with his time frame.
No.
I don't think things will be as sudden.
I've heard these stories, Al, for years.
Oh, I understand that. And one
for
of these
30
days,
years there's been shortages.
One of these days the stories will turn out to be true. It's like, you know, a lot of conspiracy theories, it's like a stop clock. It's right twice a day. A conspiracy theory is right twice a century.
I'm not taking away from his hard work and his, you know, I'm not doing that. However, this isn't a new story. It's an old story. And, he is, you know, just confirming the story. So, and we do need new people into the market to talk about these and, you know, to bring a different perspective on it and so forth. So, you know, kudos for him taking the time to do so.
One other thing about it is that one evidence to support what he's talking about. His fundamental argument is that the Treasury and or the Federal Reserve are basically out of gold. There's evidence of that. Germany has, I guess, over 1,000 tons allegedly deposited with
the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. They wanted 300 tons back. The Federal Reserve was only able to deliver 5 tons in the first year, and they say it'll take another 7 years to get the other 300 tons. That's evidence they're out, all right? If that comes to the fore and the whole thing is exhausted and they can't continue to fund, they're the ones that have been funding COMEX. If that's true and they can no longer do it, then we're going to see some dramatic changes in the near future. Maybe not as dramatic as Mr. Harvey Organ predicts, but nevertheless significant and perhaps dramatic. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're running a different type of a special today. Then we're going to get into some news. There's tons of things that are going on. This is a gold and silver special. It's priced at $3,245, but you will receive a 1 ounce modern issue gold eagle coin. That's a full ounce of gold, 1 ounce gold eagle. A mint state 63 $20 gold piece. It's a St. Gaudens. So you get a pre-1933 coin, and you get a modern issue coin, a tube of silver eagles, 20 of those, and it includes all your shipping costs, $3,245. So it's a great little package. You get a little diversification in here. And if you would like to add some 90% silver, we do have a lot of 90% silver coming in 50-cent pieces. So it's nice to have those 50-cent pieces. They're all in nice condition. A lot easier to count than the dimes, and a little bit easier to count than the quarters. And but first, you must take advantage of these prices and call us. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I did some comparison shopping on my own for this package, and we were lower. We were lower than the internet guys, and everybody thinks the internet guys is the place to be because they're internet and they can do things better. Well, they can't. Only Discount Gold and Silver can do things better. with quality product. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. Al, sounds like you got a nice little article going in there. I have Wendy's article for this weekend already for the American Survival Newsletter, and also a good one. So make sure you do that. And a lot of things going on, Al.
Got a couple of headlines here
Scotland.
That are kind of amusing.
I want to talk about Scotland.
Well,
I don't want to
go ahead and talk about Scotland.
I don't want amusing. I want Scotland. Well, we all know they're going into a vote next week to, and there's been a big debate on their independence. And I guess the vote is next week. I guess it's next Thursday, I believe we mentioned, Al.
It's the 18th. What's that work out to? Six mm-hmm. days? I guess that'd be Thursday mm-hmm. of next week, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're also predicting if the Scots say yes to that referendum, that there could be a lot of market turbulence. There's a lot of uncertainty on how this would be handled. They would face a new and different monetary, financial, and fiscal framework for Scotland. And the IMF is concerned about it. England is concerned about it. And certainly threats have been, banks have threatened to pull out. And Scotland brings a lot to the UK. I know they get reserves from their oil. Their oil reserves in the north from the North Sea, and I think Scotland wants to be a little bit like Norway. Norway uses their oil reserves, and they're very financially stable in their economy.
You mentioned that it may be true that England actually has more derivatives
mm-hmm.
than the United States.
Mm-hmm. Not much more, but they have more.
Well, regardless, given the size of the country and the size of their economy, mm-hmm. that means they are multiples on a percentage basis. They have much more derivatives on a percentage basis than we do here in the United States. And everyone, even though we are confused about derivatives and don't necessarily understand exactly what they are, I think everyone has heard that they pose a significant threat. So if Scotland breaks loose from England, it may be that they are trying to get off what they regard as a sinking ship. It may be, and I won't say that that idea motivates most of the voters, but I'll bet it motivates some of them. And they're sitting back and saying, look, England's going to crack up. And when they do, we're going to let them crack up, and they can take all their derivatives with them, and we will sit over here in our little Scottish lifeboat, and we will not be affected by the crash that may be coming to England. The other point, of course, is they've had the England, we call Great Britain and England and so on. They operate actually under the name of the United Kingdom, and it reflects a union between England and Ireland and Scotland that's gone on for centuries, several centuries. And if Scotland is breaking loose, you know, England used to rule the waves, and it was the world's superpower up until at least World War I and perhaps even to the beginning of World War II. But since then, they've lost, you know, their empire has waned. This is another blow to the United Kingdom. It's a kind of insult. It's a way of saying, look, you're not that strong. You're not that you're on the verge of collapse. And when the rats and or the Scots start leaving a sinking ship, you can be pretty sure that the ship is in fact sinking. And it causes people in England great psychological and emotional distress. And not everybody, maybe not even a majority of people, but there have been reports that English Prime Minister and other key individuals in the English government have been near to weeping over the idea that Scotland would essentially abandon England. And it's not just the money, but that's undoubtedly part of it. but there's a psychological impact here. This is a kind of divorce, and it's a traumatic situation for many people in England. We'll watch and see how this unfurls. What do you think, Melody? Will they vote? It's close.
It's a close.
Yeah, it's very close. It might be. They might vote to be independent from England. They might vote against it. God only knows who's trying to fix the election. I mean, and control the voting where
it's true.
Manipulate the voting where it appears to be one way or the other. This is an interesting drama that's unfolding, and it's not just a small thing. It parallels what we see in Iraq right now. We're seeing the beginning of what may be Iraq ceasing to exist as a nation. It was an artificial nation anyway, but being divided up into three sections, one for the Sunnis, one for the Shia, and one for the Kurds. We may see Iraq disintegrate into three governmental subdivisions, maybe three nations. We see something like that in the Ukraine, where the Ukraine was disintegrating to some degree, and part of it, the Crimea has already joined up with Russia, and eastern Ukraine wants to join up with Russia primarily. It's evidence of, it's more evidence, what we see in Scotland is more evidence of a kind of political instability that is predominant, at least growing. I won't say predominant, but growing around the globe. So where are we all headed? Am I going to, before this is over, Melody, will me and the people on this city block declare our independence from the state of Texas and the United States and the North American Union? Or how far do you suppose this move toward, these moves toward independence and division can go?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see that if they do vote yes, what will London do? Do you think they're just going to let them vote yes and get away with it?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. What are they going to do? Send out the troops? Are they going to try to suppress this with some sort of a military oppression?
Personally, I think the vote will be no.
I think you may be correct, but not necessarily because the majority of people vote no. I would be inclined to think it'll come up no, in part because the election will be manipulated and the forces in favor of no and keeping the Scots as part of the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say those forces, they may fix the election or fix parts, yep. But we'll watch and see. But it's certainly interesting. And the other thing is...
And don't get me wrong, Al. I'm in support of them voting yes, but I just have a feeling that in the world that we live in today, number one, they're just not going to let them vote. They're just not going to let them walk away from...
Well, maybe not this time.
No.
But let's suppose for the sake of argument that evidence or even opinion, they vote no. And the people who lose, the people who are voting yes, they swear up and down it's because of a conspiracy to deprive them of their rights to vote for their independence. If that's what they want to do, they're going to argue that the system is rigged and they were robbed. I guarantee you, they aren't going to just forget. They're going to be back in another 6 months or a year or however long it takes. And the next time around, particularly if others say, you know, I think that was rigged. I think it was an unfair election. They're going to probably vote yes the second time, too. This isn't over on Thursday unless they vote. If they vote yes, in theory, it's over. If they vote no, we can have another vote. You know, as soon as the people of Scotland decide they want one, they can have another vote and try it again. So this isn't a done deal. If they, and that's what makes it dangerous. It's evidence of a tide, you know, that there's something going on in the world that is moving toward political independence rather than global unity. And that's a good thing, in my opinion.
And you'd also have to ask yourself, I mean, you think that they might allow them to walk, if they do vote yes, to let them just go. I mean, what else can they do? But, I mean, if London depends on Scotland to the degree they can't let them go. Because London does depend on them.
Well, I understand.
And so, you know, you'd have to think one way or another, whether the vote is yes or no, there's going to be possible violence coming from some direction. Maybe not immediately, but somewhere along the
way. Well, it doesn't matter on one level. You either have to let these people go if that's what they want to do, or you have to impose your will by violence if that's what you want to do, meaning England, if they want it. But does England want to get the Scots? Do they want another, what, 20-year war or whatever? Do they want a problem of the sort they had with Ireland? Trying to control Ireland for several decades in the last, you know, since World War II.
But
they went on.
That's the
they
other question.
That again with the Scots?
That's the other question. If they vote yes, and they're allowed to vote yes, what do you think these other little nations are going to do?
Well, that's another problem.
You know, you're going to say, oh, wow, yeah, they were allowed to. So, we, you know, what do you think Ireland is going to do?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Once this genie gets out of the bottle, hard to say how far it's going to go. And like, as I said, we see evidence of the same kind of idea in Ukraine. We see evidence of the same kind of phenomena in Iraq. And we can wonder how far this is going to take. This is going to go. And we've seen evidence of the same phenomena with the destruction and disintegration of the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
So are we looking at some sort of a historical trend right now? Something's going to happen, you know, is this part and parcel of the same mysterious but fundamental force that perhaps...
I don't know if it's quite the same.
Soviet Union?
Is it really the same, or is the Soviet Union just really the same as it was, and there really wasn't any change at all, except it was reported?
No, the Soviet Union has changed.
Yeah, okay.
Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. You can tell.
So they tell us. Maybe not to the same degree.
About it, practically.
Maybe not to the same degree, but...
No. Soviet Union is bye-bye. It's become a historical footnote, and any question about that, again, look at Vladimir Putin. He regards it as the great tragedy of the 20th century, the destruction of the Soviet Union. He'd like to restore it, but it's not. He may get part of it back, but he's not going to get all of it. That just isn't going to happen again. So, what else, Melody? What have we got? 2 minutes before the break?
We almost
Let's take a couple of my frivolous headlines. We've got one. Here's from the. They're all from the Washington Times. And the first one is Secretary of State Kerry. U.S. not at war with Islamic State group it plans to destroy. That's the headline. You get it? We're going to bomb them. We're going to blow them up into chunks and kill them. You understand that, Melody? But we're going to, and we're going to destroy them, but we're not going to be at war with them. We're merely bombing them. It's not a war, Melody. That according to Secretary of State Kerry. Here's another one from Donald Trump. Donald Trump offers Obama a lifetime of free golf if he resigns. That's the headline. All right? I'm thinking that maybe if he throws in a free basketball, it might be enough to seal the deal. But in any case, Donald Trump is offering Obama a free lifetime golf if he resigns from the White House. Here's the last one we've got. The headline is Wasted. Feds spend millions of dollars getting monkeys drunk. And I can imagine that Congress is highly concerned. If the monkeys can drink for free, Melody, why not the congressman? Huh? What kind of a government is this if we're getting the monkeys drunk for free, but the congressmen have to buy their own martinis? Something's got to be done, Melody. While we ponder what that might be, let's take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be right back. Please.
That'll teach you to do funnies.
Yeah, it'll teach you.
pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I am not Melody Cedarstrom. Melody is Melody Cedarstrom. I'm Alfred Addis.
Yeah, that means if you were me, I had to be you.
Yeah, that would be the problem, wouldn't it?
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, moving right along. I just want to remind the listeners of our special today, a 1 ounce gold eagle coin, a bullion coin, modern issue, a pre-1933 $20 gold piece, a mint state 63, 21 ounce silver eagles, 2014s on the silver eagles, all, and this includes shipping, all for the low price of $3,245. It's a great buy. Beautiful coins. We got some 08 Nomadas and those Mint State 63 coins. And, of course, I believe the Gold Eagles are a little bit of mixed dates on those. And but a great buy in the overall package. But give us a call, folks. And we'll extend these prices for as long as we can. And don't forget, we've got the 90% silver, 50-cent pieces. Most of them are Kennedy halves, but they're nice, you know, because you don't get the same worn-out coins if you're buying those Walking Liberties from some of these other dealers that they send out to you. They're just pretty worn, and you pay a premium for them. Don't pay a premium for your 90% silver. If you have to go out and buy only Walking Libs, and particularly from some of my competitors, you're paying a huge, huge premium. So be smart when you're buying your gold and silver, and you can do that. You can be smart. You can be smart if you buy it from Discount Gold and Silver. Right, Al?
I believe that's true, Melody. What's next?
Oh, all kinds of things going on. Why don't you pick a topic?
Well, you were talking about the militia.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Ingraham had written an article. I haven't read it
well,
myself.
Well, not her. No, she was talking. Laura Ingraham was challenged Zuckerberg to have a debate.
Zuckerberg or Zuckerman? I don't know.
The Facebook guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Zuckerberg. But she challenged him to debate the immigration policy because you know, he just thinks that the U.S. should open our borders so people can have jobs and these corporations can she wants to know why they have such this desperate need for foreign workers, and she's also encouraging listeners to launch the same kind of a phone campaign that they're supposed to be calling their lawmakers, but she says call Facebook and demand that they hire American software engineers, American employees. Stop pushing the illegal labor in this country. Call Facebook and make your voices heard. And she was kind of picking up for where Senator Jeff Sessions left off. He gave a speech in response to reports where Zuckerberg had criticized the immigration system when he was actually in Mexico. And Sessions says that, well, the masters of the universe, they're very fond of open borders, as long as these open borders don't extend to their gated compounds and fenced-off estates. He says he reads in the news that Facebook is now worth more than $200 billion. He says, isn't that enough money to hire American workers for a change? Your company employs 7,000 people. He says, let's say you want to expand your workforce 10% or hire another 700 workers. Is Zuckerberg claiming that they can't find 700 Americans who would take these jobs at decent wages and decent benefits? And it's right. I mean, they're billions. I mean, the kid's not even 30, I don't think. But I don't think he's 30. And they have hundreds of billions of dollars, and they still want to... You know, and that's even a smack in the face to the illegals. If they want to go have illegals work for them, open up a factory in Mexico.
No, that's the problem with this. This is the corporations in the United States that favor having the illegals come here are corporations that are too lazy, too broke, or for whatever reason can't relocate overseas. They want to keep the corporations here, but they want third world labor. They don't want to pay first world labor wages. They just want to keep their corporation here. The whole thing is insane. It's a formula that is moving us toward a kind of destruction. In the final analysis, if you own a major corporation and you can get everybody to work for you for a buck an hour, your profits will in theory go up. But who's going to buy your product? You know, there is a kind of fairness that has to be built into the system. And it can't just be everybody buys my product at any price I set and I don't have to pay labor anything. You can't do that and expect to last. It is a foolish formula. And people have to recognize that even the wealthy have an obligation to continue to maintain the middle class. You've got to do it. These are the people that do most of the work in this country. The wealthy want you to believe that they're the ones that are so productive and they're the ones that are entitled to their billions. The truth of the matter is it's the middle class that pulls the plow. They're the mules that pull the plow. They're the ones that really work in this country. And they are the ones that are really productive. And they're the ones that are being wiped out. We're moving into a society that is increasingly a small percentage of very wealthy and a relatively large percentage of poor. How is that going to work? What are you going to sell to the poor people? How do the corporations make money if they don't have a middle class to buy the corporate products? This is all short-sighted and foolish and just people overwhelmed by their own greed and their own arrogance, and they're going to be destroying themselves with their own greed and arrogance. There has to be proviso for a strong middle class. There has to be proviso for average people being able to make a decent wage, even a good wage in this country. And if you can do that, and if you can close the borders with high tariffs and also high fences to keep foreign competition restricted, inhibited in this country, then we can start building our own computers, building our own automobiles, building our own, you know, washing machines and TV sets and whatever else. And when we do that, we will become a stronger nation. As long as we're relying on China, for example, to build most of our gewgaws, it weakens us. And we're going to pay the price for that weakness. We're going to wind up, there's going to be a time at some point in the future when we're going to have a mass of American people who have no idea of how to work because we've outsourced our industries and we've outsourced our jobs and we've outsourced whatever. And when the time finally comes when we can't buy anything on credit and therefore we actually have to work, and produce something that we can trade. I'm going to have to build something that I can trade with someone else for some groceries or a car or whatever. We're going to have to make things. We're going to have to provide a productive, we're going to have to become productive again. A lot of people won't know how. It's going to be a difficult and traumatic circumstance, and it's going to flow from the incredible, the madness. People like Zuckerberg got billions of dollars, and he doesn't have brains enough to understand that it doesn't matter. It's like, again, I talked about it earlier, it's like a Monopoly game. When you have all the money, that's the object in the Monopoly game, get all the money, and then you win. Great. Now what? The game is over. The game is over. It's the same thing in economics. When someone, some group, finally get all of the money, guess what? The game is over. What money? What good is that money to you when there's no longer anything being produced? What good is it to you if you can't drive down the road without having your car shot at? Whole thing is nuts. And yet intelligent people seem to advocate that it's rational. I don't believe that it is. What's next, Melody?
Well, we were talking about where on the Texas border. This is a report out of the, let me see if I could get this here. Oh, I saw it somewhere. Rio Grande Valley, Texas.
Yep.
You know where that's at?
Yes, it's on the border between the United States and Mexico. It's very close to the Rio Grande River.
And this is McAllen, M-C-A-L-L-E-N, McAllen.
Huh?
And the law enforcement officials and leaders from across the Rio Grande Valley are preparing for what they could result in tense moments or violence. So I think they're already setting the stage. Officials say they received word that the militia are going to threaten to block ports of entry in Starr County. International Bridge authorities met with Customs and Border Protection officials yesterday, and they said their goal was to discuss the problem. Starr County has international bridges in Rio Grande City, Roma, and Falcon Dam. Officials received word that members of a militia plan to protest illegal crossings by blocking traffic on September 20th. The mayor of Rio Grande said that the members of the group have a right to express their opinion, but he is concerned about the group's intent. He says, what do we expect? And they are, and it just goes on talking about, you know, what's going to happen, and, you know, are they going to be bringing in the National Guard with DPS, Border Patrol, local law enforcement, and they plan on communicating and handling whatever is necessary. So whatever comes their way, so they're setting it up like it's already going to be, they're setting the stage. And
they're setting the stage for?
For violence.
Yeah. And when you say they are setting the stage for violence, I don't think you mean by they, I don't think you mean merely the members of the militia. You're essentially saying that the government is also preparing for violence in a way that may be conducive to violence, ultimately.
Well, from the article in which I read, that's pretty much what it seems to, they're setting them up.
I guess
they're setting the stage, and they're setting up they're setting the stage. So if anything does happen, and they're also setting up the militia, I believe. And I'll tell you what, the militia is doing some wonderful work down there that doesn't get enough. Well, I don't know if it has gotten publicity. I'm sure it has, but they're working with ranchers, and they're doing whatever is necessary to protect. This story has been going on for a very long time. I remember living in Arizona, and you read, you know, down along the Douglas border, the Mexican border, and Arizona ranchers always had their cattle killed and crossers on their property, trash, garbage. I mean, the parts of their land and acreage, their ranches have been destroyed. So this has been a long ongoing story. And these militia men are helping these ranchers, and if they find someone coming across, they actually arrest them and they take them to the immigration. And there's been several times when they've almost
and immigration
mistaken.
Gives them a ride to Chicago,
get them into school, and there's been times when the militia guys were mistaken, and they complied, and no problems. And it's I applaud that. I think they're doing a wonderful, wonderful service in helping these ranchers.
They are also. It's arguable that the militia are also emulating the same kind of philosophy that's causing Scotland to say we want to separate from England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about, you're talking about the government thinks they know, they are concerned about what's the intent of the militia. The militia is concerned about what's the intent of the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an accident that the government is not protecting our own borders. We have President Obama who's prepared to go back to war one way or another with in Iraq and Syria. We've got money for that, but we don't have money to protect our own borders. It's not an accident that the illegal aliens are coming in here. They're coming in because they know they're being encouraged by our own government to come here. And this is part and parcel of what I believe is a drive for the North American Union that will ultimately combine Canada, the United States, and Mexico into a single economic unit and later a single nation. All right, on as a step toward a new world order and global government. The militia, on the other hand, are saying, to hell with that. We want the United States of America. We want it independent. We don't want to be part of Mexico. And that's what they're essentially saying. I don't know that they'd agree with that. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. But the argument is there that they want the United States of America to be independent from Mexico. And that means you can't just let the illegals come into this country. So what we're seeing here again is evidence that something's happening in the world where people are withdrawing from that global concept and the idea of one world government. Say, look, we're going to take care of our own neighborhood. We're going to take our own city, our own community, our own state, our own nation, and we're not going to worry about the rest of them. We are headed toward a moment of nationalism, a growing moment of global, of national independence and instability. Right? As these nations become more independent, there will probably be more national frictions. We will probably see more sporadic wars. We'll probably see more violence of the sort that you're concerned about on the border with Mexico, between the United States and Mexico. Hard to say where this is all going to work out, but to my mind, most of it's going to be an improvement over going into a new world order and global government. I do not favor that, and I,
We often talk about the people in this country won't do much until their bellies are empty and they can't feed. Well, maybe we're getting close to that because I'll tell you what, nothing stirs up the people of this country as much as immigration.
Yeah.
And this time more so than I think ever before. And why? I think because maybe they are becoming hungry. Maybe they are beginning to see and understand the impact before they saw the massive immigration from Mexico. But, you know, they were kind of fat, sassy, happy. And even though they didn't like it, and even they expressed their opinion, they left it go because they were able to sustain and be okay. And this time might be a little different.
It's different in this regard. We understand that our government is complicit in the illegal immigration. That's the big difference. We're out of time.
I don't think the people understand that. I think the people look to their bellies.
No. We're out of time, folks. We'll be back on Monday. Melody and I will talk to you then. In the meantime, have a good weekend. God bless each and every one of you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.